Heavenly Father, your word is a light to our feet and a lamp to our paths. So we pray that by your Spirit you would open our eyes to this light today and work in our hearts to give us that determination to walk in your ways. For the sake of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Verse 11. Dear friends, I urge you as foreigners and exiles to abstain from sinful desires which wage war against your soul. It's tragic, isn't it, that as we get to this point in 1 Peter, where we'll be doing this series for weeks now, and this is all planned, part of the series, and the verse talks about war. It's tragic that there really is a war happening in Europe, something that until recently we would have thought unimaginable. And it's a reminder of how serious war is. And Peter didn't use the phrase wage war against your soul flippantly here in this passage. He knew that war was something serious and chose his words carefully. There's a war going on in our lives spiritually. Did we realise that? It's a war trying to stop us living for Jesus. And we're called to fight in this battle. And the outcome of the war will have a huge effect on us and on those around us. So I'm not doing a sermon about war in Ukraine this morning. But I hope that if someone was listening from Ukraine, a Christian in Ukraine, they would be able to learn from Peter's words and be encouraged by them, even in the difficulty of their situation, and be able to apply them there too. This is about how any Christian lives in this world, and particularly in the situation that we're in, where the world doesn't like us to trust in Jesus. So Peter begins by saying, we are just passing through. We're just passing through. And this world, is not our home. It's not all there is. Dear friends, he says, I urge you as foreigners and exiles. Foreigners and exiles. People who aren't at home, aren't in their normal place of living, who are in a foreign country. This world is a foreign country to us. Do we trust in Jesus? Well, then we've got a passport, Peter's saying. But it's not a UK passport. It's not a Nigerian passport or a Ukrainian passport. It's a passport for citizenship in the kingdom of heaven, Jesus' forever kingdom. And we often describe that as God's people in God's place under God's rule and blessing. Jesus' glorious kingdom. And meanwhile, we're just passing through in this world. And there are three words that Peter uses a lot in this letter, 1 Peter, and we've seen them already, that help to explain why we're foreigners here. And there they are on the screen. Grace, hope, and holiness. Dominic, the clicker's giving me double clicks all the time, so you might have to help here. But grace, there we go, one, three. Grace, it's why we're rescued at all. It's God's generosity towards us. It's not what I've done that means that I'm rescued and forgiven. It's what Jesus has done and his gift. So at the very end of the book, Peter sums up by saying in chapter 5, verse 12, that this is the true grace of God. Stand fast in it. That's what he's been talking about in the book. And he describes it in 3 verse 18. That he says this. Christ also suffered once for sins. The righteous for the unrighteous. To bring you to God. There's another summary of the grace of God. Jesus' death on the cross. He's the righteous one. Never sinned. And he suffered for us, the unrighteous. And we've got lives that are tragically full of sin. But he takes our place. Christ also suffered once for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring you to God. There's the grace of God. Not what I've done, but what Jesus has done. And because of that, we're foreigners and exiles in this world. He lifts us up out of it. There's also hope. Hope. And that's how he began the whole letter, chapter 1, verse 3. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he's given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. A living hope. And he goes on to describe the inheritance. It's a future thing that will be ours when the Lord Jesus returns. But until then, it's kept for us, and it's definitely going to happen. So we've got a sure future. So our hope is not, I hope that it'll snow on Tuesday. Oh, it might happen, it might not. No, our hope is that we've had this inheritance, this new kingdom to live in with Jesus when he comes. And it's sure because of all he's done. And because of that, we're foreigners and exiles here waiting for that to happen. Grace, hope, and holiness. Holiness, that word that means set apart for God, distinct and different. So because of the grace and the rescue of Jesus and the hope that we've got, we become children of God, obedient children. And because of that, we live lives that are different to the lives of people around us, distinctive. Like the Lord Jesus and like he did, and because of the Lord Jesus and all that he's done, holiness. So grace, hope, and holiness. Because of these things, we're foreigners and exiles. We're just passing through. We don't belong here anymore. Instead, we belong to God's household, as we saw last week in the earlier part of chapter 2. And it's as if we're living stones being built up into this household with Jesus as our cornerstone. Now I wonder, do you and I see it like that? Is that actually how we go about living our lives? Is it in our minds, oh, I'm just passing through? Because this is how Peter and God wants us to think. Imagine that you're a French firefighter and you've been called out a couple of years ago. It's the night time and a very large cathedral in the middle of Paris is burning down. And you've been called out with your fire engine to go and put out the fire. And there you are. You put your siren on, a little French tweak to the siren, and off you go, driving towards this fire in the middle of Paris. And as you drive, you see a little coffee shop. Oh, well, this is nice. Stop the fire engine, get out, have a coffee. Croissant. Of course. Yummy, great. Back in your fire engine, off you go again. Nina, nina. And oh, actually, there's another coffee shop. Stop the fire engine. Get out, you're a Frenchman. Glass of red wine with another little, not a croissant this time, something a little sweeter, maybe. Lovely, splendid. Back in your fire engine, off you go. Driving along, up. Oh, menu at 15 francs, euros. Wow. Got to stop the fire engine for that, haven't you? You can't miss a menu at 15 euros. Out you get. Have your three courses for 15 euros. Great, delicious. Maybe a glass of wine with that as well. Back in your fire engine. Nina, nina. Off you go. Get to Notre Dame and it's burnt down. You missed the gig. Well, it's a silly illustration, isn't it? But is this what we're like as Christians in our lives here? You've totally failed to be a firefighter. You've been totally engrossed in the things around you, nice as they are. Missed the point of where you're going and what you're doing. Is that what we're like as Christians? Are we engrossed in the world around us instead of just passing through on the way to our future hope? Jesus, in the parable of the sower in Mark chapter 4, said this: others, like seed sown among thorns, hear the word, but the worries of this life, the deceitfulness of wealth and the desires for other things come in and choke the word, making it unfruitful. Let's not be like that. We are just passing through in this world. So, Peter, what do we do as we pass through? Well, we're just passing through, fighting off soul-destroying sin. Fighting off soul-destroying sin. There is a war in our lives, says Peter. What's the enemy? Have a look at verse 11. Dear friends, I urge you, as foreigners and exiles, to abstain from sinful desires which wage war against your soul. What's the enemy? Sinful desires. Now that describes desires in our hearts and minds that are typical human desires, but that go against what God wants for us, where we take the good things of God's creation and we distort them for our own selfish needs and to go against God. So love is something that God has created as part of this world and the way we have relationships, but we twist that into selfishness and manipulation. Generosity is something that's in God's nature and he's given to us, but we distort that and instead have greed. Contentment is something that God has made to be part of our experience in this world of his with plenty, but we turn that into envy and hoarding. So we take the good things God has made and distort them. And this is sin and sinful desires. And they're at war with us. Now, is this a small problem? Something that we can ignore because Jesus died on the cross? Have a look at verse 11. As foreigners and exiles, abstain from sinful desires which wage war against your soul. This is serious, isn't it? There's a war for our souls going on. And like any war, which tragically we're seeing played out on the screens of our TVs and our smartphones, like any war, there are features, terrible features of it. So, propaganda and lies, collateral damage, poor quality of life, danger of death. So in this war against sinful desires, there's propaganda and lies. Sin is something that lies to us all the time and gives us fake news about what it will produce. So we look at something and maybe we know it's wrong, maybe we don't, but we think that it'll lead to us feeling good, satisfied, fulfilled. But that's fake news. And in the short or the long term, it either leads to something that's very temporary or pretty terrible. So think of the gambler. They go out on the first night expecting excitement and the thrill of getting winnings. But by the end of the month, that has become a huge debt that they can't see how to pay off and feels like a millstone around their neck. And meanwhile, they've lied to everyone around them and borrowed and stolen to be able to pay. Fake news, propaganda and lies. And there's collateral damage as well. People around get hurt. At the heart of sin is selfishness. And selfishness means that, well, when we give in to sin, sinful desires, and the product of them, other people get hurt. So pornography fuels the idea that sex is a selfish thing. It's all there for you and just for you. And that as well destroys young lives as they think they have to act out what they see on their screens with each other. Ruins marriages. It's collateral damage. It's a war. Poor quality of life. God's will is the best way to live. And when we live in God's way, it transforms lives and things are better. Follow the Maker's instructions. But the flip side of that coin is that a normal life is damaged by rejecting God and going against him. It's damaged by sin and the effects of sin. So think about greed and materialism. Because of that, we want more things. And so we pay for things. And maybe we pay for things that money we haven't got yet. So we take out a loan or we have a credit card. And then we get debt and maybe more debt. And with that comes anxiety. And for what? maybe our car is a bit more shiny than it would have been or something. But what's the point? Poor quality of life, really, because we don't follow the Maker's instructions. And danger of death, obviously, a terrible feature of war, and also of this war in our hearts. The more we give in to sinful desires, the more we listen to our excuses, the less we fight what's going on. And that damages our souls, our relationship with God, and that very part of our being. Our hearts can be hardened, so we get to the point where we no longer feel that we're doing something wrong. We no longer go seek and desire God's forgiveness. We stop praying. We stop reading our Bibles. We stop seeking God's grace and rescue. And where does that end up? Maybe we stop trusting in God at all. We listen to the lies. Damage happens to those around us. It's a mess. Dear friends, says Peter, I urge you, as foreigners and exiles, to abstain from sinful desires which wage war against your soul. So let's ask ourselves, am I fighting? Am I fighting in this war in my soul? Two things to help us here. First of all, it's never too late to fight sin. Whatever stage you're at in your life and whatever's going on in it, it's never too late for us to start fighting. There's a great verse in Romans 8, verse 1. It says this, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit who gives life has set you free from the law of sin and death. No condemnation. When we turn to Jesus, no condemnation. We're set free from the law of sin and death. So it's never too late to fight sin. We can always turn back to Jesus, reach out to him, and he's there, ready to receive and forgive. So it's never too late to fight sin. But also, in that fight, God himself arms us and fights with us in the battles. We can, as the Bible puts it, we can put on God's armour in the fight. And there's a great section in Ephesians chapter 6. Have a look at it later on. Ephesians chapter 6, and read about the armour of God. Let me read a couple of verses from there, verse 16 and 17. It says, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Yes, God's enemy wants to tell us that we're far from him, that we can't go back to him, that we're ruined. And with the shield of faith, we can stop those arrows and go back to God. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. That's what we're doing now, isn't it? We're taking the sword of the Spirit, and God is arming us with it in this fight. So God arms us and fights with us in the war against sin. We're just passing through, brothers and sisters, fighting off soul-destroying sin and promoting the glorious kingdom of Jesus. This is great, isn't it? Abstain from sinful desires which wage war against your soul. Verse 12, live such good lives among the pagans that though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day he visits us. Following Jesus makes a difference in our lives, and other people may notice that. We often describe this as being a witness to Christ. The saving love of Jesus means that we do good stuff as a response to that. Other people see that and may want to know the power and love of Jesus for themselves. Live such good lives, he says. Live such good lives. That's living God's way, fighting the war against sin and it coming out in our lives. Among the pagans, well, pagans means people who don't believe in God. And in Peter's time, that would have been the Romans. That is, they don't believe in the one true God. They have many fake gods of their own. Today, we could just substitute that for people who don't believe in Jesus. And he says, live among them. So this isn't that Christians are going to separate themselves off and going to live in a little holy huddle somewhere. No, live among. Live such good lives among the people. That, though they accuse you of doing wrong. Well, is that a surprise? I don't think it is it? Christians often wrongly accused of doing things because there's a clash with the culture around us, and we don't want to do what the culture does, and so as a result, people around us respond, maybe with envy, maybe with fear, maybe with they're defensive, maybe we just don't do the things they do, and so they accuse Christians of doing wrong. Though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds coming out of us following Jesus, and glorify God on the day he visits us. He's talking about them coming to Christ before that, so that when Jesus comes, they go, wow, this is great, instead of, oh no, I've made a big mistake. And so the end result Peter's seeing is that people come to Christ and glorify him through the witness of Christians. And again, we can ask, can't we, how are we doing with this? Are we promoting the glorious kingdom of Jesus in our lives? Someone might say, well, I don't really live among any non-Christians. Well, probably actually just need to open our eyes a bit. But maybe it's time to go and join a club or get a new hobby. Go and help a charity somewhere. Meet some more people. Someone might say, oh, it's too late. I've blown it with all the non-Christians around me. I've just made so many mistakes. But why not say sorry? It's never too late to start again with them. And perhaps saying sorry is a good way to get back on track. Someone might say, well, what good deeds can I do? What about thinking about acts of kindness? Very simple idea, isn't it? That we'd be kind to people. It's quite unusual in the world around us. But perhaps as we get up in the morning, we can pray amongst the other things we're praying for and having read God's word. Pray, Lord, show me how I can be kind today to somebody. And then as we meet perhaps the normal people in our lives, or maybe the people we don't normally see, how can I be kind with and to this person? Are we promoting the glorious kingdom of Jesus? Well, these two verses are very special verses. They're important verses, worth learning perhaps, if you can take some time to do that. In the book where we're reading through, it's a point where Peter turns from the wonderful things that God has done to us into turning to specific ways that applies in the believers' lives. And that's what happens from verse 13 onwards. We'll have to take a little break into 1 Peter. We'll come back after Easter and look at that. But these two verses sum up our response to the Lord Jesus and what he's done. And we need to get our heads around them, don't we, and live them out. So are we just passing through? Is that how we see it? Are we fighting off soul-destroying sin? Maybe there's a way we can, God can help us to do that more. Are we promoting the glorious kingdom of Jesus? Let's pray. Thank you, Heavenly Father, that you've made us foreigners and exiles in this world temporarily because we have such a great hope and inheritance to come in the glorious kingdom of Jesus. We pray that while we're just passing through here, you'd help us in that war against sinful desires in our souls. Show us, Lord, where we fall short, where we're failing. Help us to stand and fight with your armour and your help. And Lord, may this work out in our lives so that there are good deeds that people notice that would lead them to see the wonder of the love and power of Jesus for themselves before it's too late. We pray this in his name. Amen.